Glad you could join us today. My name is Charles Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my son Daniel. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We are in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And with that said, we've been off for a couple of weeks during the holidays. We're glad to be back, looking forward to a new year of Crosstalks. And we believe we have some exciting things in store as we move into our first full year of Crosstalk. And Daniel, you recently wrote a blog. You entitled that blog, "May It Be Said of Us," for this year. Mm-hmm. Why don't you begin by just telling us what motivated that blog?
Yeah, and you know, some of our listeners may have already read it, so if you have, but I kind of want to just have opportunity to talk it out. But I was initially motivated probably a couple weeks ago, kind of thinking about this, and usually when I know I've got a blog coming up, I don't always do this, but I try to, about a week out, at least let my mind be thinking through what I want to write. And so probably a couple weeks ago, I began to think upon this concept of what, well, actually, I should probably go back a little bit. I began to think about this idea of resolutions, because I always think about that.
Right.
At the beginning of the year, and I'm not opposed to resolutions.
No, they're not bad.
I think they're a good thing. I think that's something that we as believers should set goals and seek to grow in who we are. And
we resolve in Christ.
Yeah,
to
resolve
do certain
in Christ.
Things,
yeah. And so, and usually I'll try to write a blog at the beginning of the year that kind of, you know, focuses on the idea of resolutions.
Right.
But as I began to think about that, and I began to think about the things that God has actually been working in my heart, I would say probably in the last couple of months. So this is very personal for me in the sense of what He's been doing in my life, the things He's been revealing, sinfulness, sinful tendencies, things that I need to change going into the year 2014 and beyond.
Yeah.
And so as I began to think upon those things, this blog, this idea of may it be said of me or us mm-hmm. in 2014 and every year hereafter,
right.
that we were marked by certain things,
right.
which we want to talk about. And so that's really what motivated me, was really out of a sense of self-evaluation in the Lord and the Spirit of God just really kind of working on my heart.
Yeah.
I was motivated by that.
Yeah, before we get into that, I know it kind of catches my attention because it's a word from a song. I mean, it's one of the more recent songs, and I would assume
by the
you got
Gettys.
The thought there.
Yeah. Yes, it did kind of come from there. No, actually, it's not from the Gettys. I'm forgetting right now. It's a chorus maybe said of us that we were marked by, maybe it is the Gettys. I can't remember. I have to go back and look.
I can't remember. But I just know that when I hear it, it grabs my heart, and it moves me to these very things
right.
we're talking about. One of the things you mentioned was to be marked by compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just... sure, what the Lord put on your heart there.
Well, you know, my heart is ministry. My heart is full-time ministry and working, you know, to preach the gospel, train and equip people in the gospel. But I work and I put quotations around this, though my listeners can't, or our listeners can't hear it, can't see me doing this, but I put quotations around, my real job. And I work a job in which I'm around
your
people.
Your day job.
Exactly, my day job, right? I'm around people who are sometimes not easy to get along with. But then I thought, well, then sometimes you can be in the home, and
yeah.
people in the home can be hard to get along with. Maybe
sometimes we're not
yeah,
easy to get along
yeah,
with.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Or just in general, thinking about this whole idea of coming in contact with people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And coming in, whoever it may be. It doesn't necessarily, my coworkers, the people that I encounter out on the road when I'm shopping and there's a call.
Oh, when somebody pulls out in front of you.
Exactly.
And
there's a
happen.
Cause for frustration or whatever. But is my response, do I have a compassionate response for the people that are around me? And I know that Jesus in Matthew, when he saw the multitudes, I think it's in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he says, "And seeing the multitudes," or when he saw the multitudes, this particular one is actually Matthew chapter 9.
Yeah.
He's talking about he saw the multitudes and he had compassion upon them.
It was moved with compassion.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was hit by that. And in my blog, if you've read it, one of the things I said in there was is that you will know true compassion when you allow yourself to be moved by the needs of those around you.
Just to add to that, to what you're saying there, is the word that is used there in original is the word from which we derive our English word spleen. It's and the idea is the bowels, the very lower extremities are moved by something. We all know what that's like to be moved to such a way that our very insides are touched by it. That's some reality of what you're saying there.
Well, and I come to realization I'm not moved by the multitude. My multitude. The multitude that is around me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not moved by that at all. And so I want, in the year 2014 and beyond, to be moved with compassion for those who are in need of the gospel. Whether it would be believers.
We're more often moved with frustration.
Right. But whether it be believers or non-believers.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be moved with compassion, not frustration or not even really noticing it at all. You know, and I said this in here, and I'll just read this because I think it really kind of just allows me to communicate that clearly. Co-workers, people in need, or some annoyance that hits me during the day garners frustration from me rather than a look at the need or the person or the opportunity I'm encountering.
Right.
You know, and so anyway, I feel like it's important, and I think every Christian should be marked by compassion.
Well, and that'll lead you to the second issue, that was to speak with graciousness, because, you know, we hear the old saying, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket.
It's true.
Yeah, so Jesus said it himself, it's not what's outside of man that that hurts as a problem for him, it's what's inside.
Right.
And man speaks good things out of the good treasure of his heart.
Well, and not only, you want to be marked by compassion, but I think you want to be marked with a person, or be marked as a person who speaks with graciousness, was the second thing that I wrote on there. And I realized that. That's part of the reason why I was so convicted, is that the reason I speak with harshness is because that's what's in me right now. And it's a hard reality. Not that I'm changing all of a sudden right now, and boom, I'm totally different.
But, it won't be 100% different in the next moment.
But when I said those harsh words, or did not speak graciously, or, you know, poked fun or jabbed in a way that was not pleasing to the Lord, I did that because, no, I wasn't just joking, as we will often say, to make an excuse. Mm-hmm. I meant it. I truly meant it with all my heart. And if we're willing to be honest with ourselves and to realize that we really, truly mean that, then I think we can start the process of change. And, you know, Colossians 4 talks about this, talks about your speech being seasoned with salt. Philippians 1 talks about letting your conversation be becoming to the gospel. And I realized that my conversation is not becoming to the gospel so many times. And it's not peppered with graciousness. It's not salted with graciousness.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
the whole root idea of graciousness is grace. We've experienced grace, therefore we give grace.
Well, and I also said, and I said that it doesn't do me or others any service. It diminishes the glory of Christ.
Yeah. The writer of Proverbs speaks of that in a different way. Remember, he says, woe to the man who shoots, who fires firebrands, arrows, and death. And then he says, I was only joking.
Right. And that's what I was realizing, or am still realizing, is me. And I think it's important, when you want to speak graciousness, or be gracious, I should say, to others, and you want to speak words of grace, then you need to reflect and be compelled by the grace of God.
Right.
His abundant grace. It's an ocean. The amount of grace. We're such sinners, yet God is so gracious. Mm-hmm. And we're not. We don't afford the same grace that God gave to us to other people.
Yeah, God is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. We are quick to anger and slow to mercy.
Right, and the spoken word is so powerful.
Yeah,
I mean, it literally does hold life and death in its hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I begin to realize that. So anyway, speak with graciousness.
And that, again, leads us forward to the whole concept of kindness.
Right.
And that's
giving
another
kindness.
Another concept that was on your heart.
Well, and it's so often people go, what's the difference? You speak with graciousness, you're kind.
They're closely related.
They're very closely related, but I think they deserve to be divided when looking at them, because a kind person is a person who loves.
Yeah, and kindness takes graciousness another step.
And I said this in the blog, you know, where there's no love, there'll be no kindness, but conversely, where there's no kindness, there's obviously no love.
Right.
And I think, you know, Paul says that we may abound more and more in love. And then he goes on talking about being able to prove things
which,
that are excellent.
Which leads us to right. prove things are excellent.
To be able to do what we should do, we have to be motivated by love. And you're right. God help us, because I'm not motivated by love, and so therefore I'm not a naturally sometimes kind person. And that, it frustrates me, but then I have to realize that I have to focus up there again upon the grace of the Lord, that He is forgiven, but I want to be kind. And here's, I'm just going to bring this out. Facebook and social media can be some of the most, can afford us some of the most grandest opportunities to be unkind. Because we don't have to be face to face with anybody.
People aren't afraid to be vitriolic on Facebook.
Exactly. And I didn't put this in the blog, but it was in the back of my mind when I was writing about it. And I didn't really want to bring out a lot of specifics, but now that I'm here, I'm going to. And God was showing me that you get on Facebook, and it's like we're vitriolic about things. And it's about, we're going to win. We're going to stick to your face. We're Christians, and we're going to stick it to the gay rights people.
We can do it in front of a lot of people, and it's like,
And we're going to stick it to the liberals, and we're going to stick it to, and that's not what we're about. Now, yes, we take a stand. Don't get me wrong. But where is the kindness? Where, for instance, we'll post on Facebook about our team that we like. And then if that team loses, what's the first thing? Everybody's on there like, and a lot of it's joking, and I have to be careful with it. It's just fun. People do a little wink. And but honestly, there are times we love to get the other person.
We like.
Get them. We got
get
them.
Get our dig in.
And
why do we like that? Why do we like to get our dig in?
Because it makes us feel good about ourselves.
Well, what you said,
that's important.
We are above. We're up. Shooting down.
Exactly. Yeah. We have promoted ourselves and not the grace of God, not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, and as we talked about this in preparation for this, I thought of what Jesus said. He was speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, you guys, you tithe all these things of mint, rue, cumin, that were things they tithed on. He said, that's not bad. But you left out the stuff that matters most, and he mentioned justice, mercy, and faith, which is similar to what Micah said when he said, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. These are the concepts that are basic to the gospel and basic to living the gospel. And it just seemed to me that that fits right in, because this is the basis of Christian living.
Well, it is. And 2 Peter talks about, you know, adding kindness. You know what I'm saying? You need to add kindness.
Yeah.
That needs to be something that's adding to you, and it's attributed to godliness.
Right.
And I really believe, people, listen up here. If you're not giving evidence of kindness, there's severely lacking you evidence of godliness.
Yeah, Christ-likeness.
Christ-likeness.
Yeah. It's a
right. And people say, well, Jesus overturned the money tables. Yeah, but you know who he did that to? He did that to his own kind. He didn't do it to all the people that were down and out, cast out. You know, it was Reformation, yes.
Yeah, and I think we ought to be careful of assuming that we have the authority to do what Jesus did at the temple. You know, we want to grab that the Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself in the flesh, was showing, demonstrating something of the holiness of God and how they had misused something that God had appointed for good purposes.
But godly people will be kind people.
Yeah.
They will be.
Yeah. So. Well. So relate that then to, as we close here, to living with reckless abandonment.
Yeah, the last point there that I wrote. Yeah. And people are like, what does that got to do anything? Well, honestly, that's the way we should live our lives. We should be recklessly abandoned, not irresponsible, but recklessly abandoned to the will of God. And I honestly, I think in our culture especially, and I think it can manifest itself in other cultures as well, but in our culture, I think we're really consumed with the American dream. We're kind of drunk with it.
It seems to be our right.
We're intoxicated with it. We have our phones and our iPads and everything, and we're consumed by this consumerism, and we don't want to be reckless. We don't want to take the risk. And risk is right, as John Piper talks about.
Right.
Because honestly, with Christ, there is no risk. And I'm not talking about being irresponsible with providing for your family or with pursuing a God-given dream that God has given you. But are you willing to take that which is under your stewardship, everything that God has given you, and use it for the sake of the gospel?
Well, if necessary, even abandon your dream. You may have to.
Yeah, Lord,
lay the dream at the cross. Well, it's like one brother we've read said, you know, there's this myth of safety, this myth.
Yeah, it's totally a myth.
Yeah.
Piper actually says that,
yeah.
And, you know, Christ is the sovereign who who has determined things for our good and for his ultimate glory. And when Jesus said, follow me, it was not presumption. It was a matter of obedience. You know what I'm saying? And I think we need to be willing to say, I'm going to take a risk for the sake of the gospel, no matter what happens. Because I know that that's what God is calling me to do, and he will do all things right. It's really not a risk.
Well, I have a feeling we'll be revisiting these concepts in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, we could talk a lot longer.
But we want to thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you'll find our resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.